Lord, as we open your word this morning, may you be glorified. Draw us closer to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you agree that historically, most of God's people lived below what God had planned for them? You know, Adam and Eve in a perfect sinless environment lived below that. Children of Israel set free from slavery, given the promised land, never really achieved all that God had planned for them. Why is that? Would you say it could be the same today for us? Do we live below God's plan? Or are we living in the fullness of what Jesus purchased for us? Why is it that people can tend, not all people, not always, tend not to take advantage of what God has offered? What do you think? Fear. Fear. Explain that.
Fear of change, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of change.
Okay.
Being stuck.
Okay, fear does get you stuck. That's for sure. That's true. If we're not in the Word, we don't even know everything that God has promised for us. So it's, you know, basically, there's a word for that. It's called ignorance. And that's not, ignorance just means you don't know. Now, there is something called willful ignorance, which means you don't want to know. That's a whole different thing with the Lord.
I do not say that.
And I don't think the mic picked it up for on the recording, so I won't repeat it either. Any other ideas?
Unworthiness.
Feeling unworthy?
Yeah.
And we are unworthy, but that's what Jesus did. Any other ideas? Yeah. Ask, seek, and knock. You have not because you ask not, the Bible tells us. We forget who we are, but more importantly, we forget who he is. Any other ideas? Could be all along. God has a way. But the Bible tells us there's a way that seems right to men and women, and the end is destruction. But I think one of the problems is the very blessing of free will that God gave people is the thing that gets people into trouble. Because God gives us a choice. You can come my way, or you can live life your way. Those are really the only two choices in life. And you understand that your way is the devil's way? Ouch. The title of this message is The Forgotten Gift, but it could have been titled The Forgotten Commandment. Inside those commandments, those commands, is a reminder of a gift God intended as a blessing. And for the most part in the Christian church, it's become the forgotten gift. any idea of what I'm talking about? What? The Sabbath. Now, if we look quickly at the commandments, which Jason's going to put up there, you shall have no other gods, you shall not make graven images, keep going, you shall not bow down to them, go on, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then number four, and I know some of you who have backgrounds like I have in either the Lutheran or the Catholic Church, the numbers are off. It took me a very long time to get the biblical numbers because the second commandment was skipped about making images for obvious reasons because they like statues. I mean, you know, it's not that they necessarily worship the statues, but God just said, don't make them. Anyway, number four says, remember. Now, how is that different than the way all the previous commandments start? Go on to the other commandments and let's look. That's still the fourth commandment. It's long. It's the longest one. Go on. Honor your father and mother. That has a different start to it too. Then it says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false witness, you shall not covet. But then in the midst of the thou shalt nots is remember. Why?
Because they're already supposed to have been doing it.
Ta-da, exactly. The Sabbath was not something that was new on Mount Sinai. It is not really part of the law at all. When was the Sabbath established? At creation, Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing, so that on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God must have been pretty tired, huh? You laugh, so why did he rest? He didn't need to rest, but he knew we would. Jesus said it in Mark 2, 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But that commandment and that principle, especially in the American church, has been mostly lost. Now, we would never think that the other commandments were obsolete. So why have we lost what God intended as a gift to mankind? Now, there are questions that arise as we think of the Sabbath. Should Christians even follow it? Is it for us today? And if so, how should we do it? Is the Sabbath just a day off? A vacation day? Why did God do it anyway? Does it matter which day? Didn't Jesus do away with the law? And didn't he even break the Sabbath, violate the Sabbath a lot? And what kind of rest is God talking about? We want to answer some of those questions today because the Sabbath rest is a gift that basically sits unopened on most of our shelves. Our lifestyles don't allow for rest, especially the kind of Sabbath the Lord is talking about. So we talked a little bit already. Why did he make the Sabbath? We know as an example to rest. What other reasons? What do you think? Why did God make the Sabbath? Pardon me? Explain that. You're right. And they never would have a choice if there wasn't such a time. That, and even it says right in the wording, and we'll look at the wording specifically a little bit later, but slaves didn't have an option to say, oh, I think I'll take a day off. Neither did the animals. But God specifically mentions in the Sabbath to have your slaves, your servants, and your animals have a day of rest. That's amazing. What else? Why else would God have created it?
A day set apart from the other days, different.
Right, it was a day different. How different?
Well, for God to turn our thoughts to him on that day, our creator.
Yeah, he calls it holy. So it's not just a vacation day. You know, keeping the Sabbath reminds us of who God is. There are two places in the scriptures that mention the commandments. And one of them is in Exodus 20. And we're going to look at, and the other one is in Deuteronomy 5. We're going to look at both of those. And what I want you to think as we read these is, what is the focus that the wording presents of who God is? Does that make sense? So Exodus 8, or 20, verses 8 to 11 says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor male or female servant, nor your animals, like Mike said, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Think about what this means, like on your list of things to do. What did God do in 6 days? A lot more than's on my list. And he got it done in 6 days. So to say we can't have a day, that's kind of interesting. Anyway, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. So in Exodus 20, we see God as who? The creator, right, Steve. We see it's a reminder. So the Sabbath is to remind us that there is a creator, our God the creator. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, the wording is a little different. Don't know if you've ever noticed that. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, gets really specific there, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So how? What do we see about God in this scripture? He's the deliverer. Deliverer from the slavery of sin. And the redeemer. Which brings us to what Jesus did. So the Sabbath is a day to remember who God is and what he did for us. Now, some say that Jesus did away with the Sabbath by fulfilling the law. How would you respond to that?
That means I can kill people now.
That means you can kill people now?
We're going to forget the Sabbath.
It says he fulfilled them. It doesn't say he did away with them. He fulfilled. But you could even answer, wait a minute, the Sabbath isn't really part of the law. It was reminded, they were reminded of the Sabbath in the law, but the Sabbath itself was not, it was instituted way before the law. But didn't Jesus violate the Sabbath? He did a lot of stuff on the Sabbath, and we're going to look that up. I need 7 people who can grab a Bible, and we're going to do it this way. Listen carefully before you volunteer. What I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to give you a passage of the Bible. Do not read the whole thing. Quickly skim it and find out what Jesus did that violated or what he was accused of violating the Sabbath for. Okay? So, and we're not going to ask you to read it out loud, but we're just going to, rather than go through all of these scriptures, we'll have individuals who want to just look. You can just skim. Some of these you'll be very familiar with. What did Jesus get accused of doing on the Sabbath that he was accused of violating the Sabbath? So, who wants a scripture? Terry, Matthew 12, 1 to 4. Lisa, Mark 3, 1 to 5. Shelley, Luke 13, 10 to 17. Ryan, Luke 14, 1 to 6. Kathy, John 5, 1 to 8. I need 2 more people. Nancy, John 7, 21 to 24. Tim, John 9, 1 to 41. But you don't have to read it, just skim it. Just by doing a quick look at it. Somebody say, hey, mine even has a topic at the top of that that tells me what it is. What? I have no idea. 21 to 24. Okay, we'll give them 30 seconds to figure this out. This is like a time test. I'll say the scripture and you tell me what he was accused of. In Matthew 12. She said he went to Skelly's with the disciples and picked corn. They were walking through the fields and they picked some grain to eat. Mark 3. He healed the guy with the withered hand right there, I think, in the synagogue. Luke 13.
Oh, I'm sorry. He healed the woman who, her infirmity, it sounds like a back, her spine maybe was out, because it said that he laid hands on her and she was made straight.
Yeah, she couldn't, she was all bent over. She could not even see in front of her, basically just looked at her toes on the Sabbath. Luke 14.
He was at the home of one of the Pharisees, the guy with swollen arms and legs came in, Jesus healed him.
Yep. John 5.
He healed the person at the pool, and then they carried him bed.
Oh, bad. He carried the bed. John 7. John 9.
Jesus healed the man born blind, and it was done on the Sabbath, so obviously he wasn't healed because that would have been worked on the Sabbath. He can't work on the Sabbath, so.
Yeah. So, what is Jesus' attitude toward the Sabbath? Do what you want?
Do good on the Sabbath.
Yeah. You see, right, Jesus was showing people how not to be religious about the Sabbath. And basically, ridiculous keeping the Sabbath. You might actually say he was redeeming the Sabbath and showing people what it really was. Because you see, at that time and still today, among the very strict Jewish religion, there were 39 forbidden labors on the Sabbath, and they still apply. Include 11 that talk about the production and preparation of bread that you can't do. 12 that talk about preparation of clothing. 7 that relate to how to deal with an animal, things that you cannot do on the Sabbath. Other prohibitions were against writing, building, kindling, or extinguishing fires. There are a certain number of steps you could walk on the Sabbath, and after that you were breaking it. And I mean, what if you were halfway somewhere, you just had to stop? I mean, they included, prohibitions included looking into a mirror that hangs on the wall. That is work, I don't know how. Lighting a candle. You cannot use an egg that was laid on the Sabbath. I have to tell my neighbor. Got to tell my neighbor about that because he has chickens. But you could hire a Gentile to light your candles, or you could sell that Sabbath egg to a Gentile. There were more than 600 man-made rules about what you could do and what you must do on the Sabbath. This is what Jesus was against. He was not against the Sabbath. He broke those man-made rules, but not the Lord's. He taught that God made the Sabbath as a gift for mankind. And what he criticized was the Pharisees' hypocrisy. And I put two scriptures on your notes that we're not going to look at in Matthew 23, where Jesus makes the accusations against the Pharisees. You do the nitpicky things and you forget about the big stuff. You forget about love. You forget about honor. You forget about mercy because you're too busy counting your steps and covering your mirrors. That's what they do, is they would hang something the day before over the mirror. So do we need a Sabbath? Medical science shows both rest and sleep are needed for good health, and they're not the same. You may be getting good night's sleep, but if you don't have rest incorporated into your rhythm of your week, you're still going to be tired. Now, let's look at some of the health benefits of rest, not sleep. This is just rest. It reduces stress and anxiety. From the CDC, it says healthcare expenditures are nearly 50% greater for those who report high levels of stress. Another benefit, improves your mood. Some of you are going to say, honey, you better get a day of rest in there. Improves your mood, your energy level, your creativity, your productivity, and your memory. Working more hours actually means less productivity. Germany and France are the countries that are statistically the most productive, and they mandate, not offer, but mandate 30 days of paid vacation. Now, in the US, we're number 3 in productivity, but only about 25% of the people even take the vacation time that's allotted to them. I found a quote that says, people who do not know how to detach from work during time off experienced increased exhaustion over the course of 1 year and are less resilient in the face of stressful conditions. Life is a stressful condition. A study by the University of Illinois, so it's Illinois, I don't know how good that is, but anyway, it shows that all work and no rest dramatically reduced focus as well as productivity. Rest decreases blood pressure. How many of you are on blood pressure meds? Maybe add rest. Chronic pain relief with rest. improved immune health. Because chronic working and stress depresses your immune system. And rest brings you a stronger cardiovascular system. Completely, the studies show that completely divesting from work on a regular basis reduces inflammation and risk of heart disease and diabetes. What are the most common ailments of Americans today? Heart disease and diabetes. And I think it's because we haven't remembered the gift of God. Now, amazing that God knew all of this and created a pattern of work and rest that would produce good results for us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Anybody here need more rest and more time with God besides me? Now, if we lived in Israel, this would be very easy. We wouldn't even be concerned about how do we work this into our schedules. Because in Israel, now consider, Israel is not a religious country. Great portion of the people do not even believe in God. Yet, the Sabbath is kept. Early afternoon on Friday, because remember, the day in the Jewish calendar, because of what Genesis says, the morning or the evening and the morning were the first day, so the day starts at sundown. So the Sabbath starts Friday at sundown. So everybody, everything that is owned or run by a Jewish person, saved, unsaved, unchurched, atheist, shuts down. Early afternoon on Friday, the traffic is horrendous because everybody has to get home and prepare for the Sabbath. Or if you're really ultra-Orthodox, you prepare to go to the hotel so you don't have to do any work. You just let other non-Jewish people do it for you. As a matter of fact, if you go to a hotel and it's Sabbath or Shabbat, they have a special Shabbat elevator so that they do not have to do the work of pushing the buttons. And so if you were on a tour to Israel, we say, and it's on a Friday or Saturday, we say, watch for the Shabbat elevator. It's labeled. Don't get on it. It stops at every floor automatically. So no buttons, because that's work, have to be done. I mean, what would Jesus say about that? Yeah, he would push a button. Our culture, so basically the nation shuts down. The Jewish part of the nation absolutely shuts down from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. That you know, you see people maybe walking to synagogue on Saturday. There's no shopping. There's no anything. It's a time for family. It's a time for God if you believe in God. Otherwise, it's a time to get together with people that even the non-believers who don't believe in God at all get together and they at least have fellowship with one another. Our culture makes it a lot harder to keep the Sabbath. It seems, according to Scripture, that the Sabbath rest was for everyone, families, servants, animals. Foreigners. I think my dog has the Sabbath rest down, but I think he thinks it's every day. It was instituted at creation, but if we desire to keep the Sabbath and really put rest, God's rest, into our lives, it takes a lot more effort to do so. And then there's this question of, so which day? The word Sabbath in Hebrew means Saturday. It is the seventh day, which is Saturday. So are we breaking God's principles if we don't honor Saturday? Let's see. Now, the early church did keep the Sabbath on Saturday, and there's only a couple of places in the Bible where anything special about Sunday is mentioned. The Sabbath did not shift from Saturday to Sunday in the early church, as some say. There are two places where the first day of the week is mentioned, which would be Sunday. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. But remember, they came together to break bread every day. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of the week, Paul's instructing, let each one lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So the assumption is that he's talking about a church service, but really there's no mention of that included. Now, we talked last week about how the Christians in about the 300s divested anything Jewish from the church. That's why generally Christians don't know a lot about the Feasts of the Lord, even though they're called the Feast of the Lord, not the Jewish feasts. And at that time, that's when Easter was created to be away from Passover. And that's also when Sunday became officially the day to honor God, because they didn't want it to be on Saturday because that was too Jewish for them. So what do we do? I believe the word has an answer, because it is not supposed to be a burden. It is supposed to be a blessing. It is not supposed to be something that is going to make you feel, oh no, I'm breaking these laws. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? What I'm trying to show you is that we're missing a gift from God, but I am not going to be Pharisaical and tell you how to do it and make a list of do's and don'ts and when's not. Well, is that scriptural? Let's look. Colossians 2:16 says this, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Now, in context, to be absolutely honest, because we always want to look in context, Paul was saying to the Gentile church in Colossians, don't let anybody put you down because you are keeping these things. He was not really giving them permission not to. But Romans, which is, you know, one of the strongest doctrinal books in our Bible, Romans 14:5 says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. That's where I personally stand. It is true that the early church, when they were dealing with what are we going to do with those Gentiles, do they have to become Jewish in order to be believers? The Sabbath is not mentioned. In Acts 15, they are told that they should abstain from food, from idols, from sexual immorality, and from meat that was strangled with blood. The Sabbath isn't mentioned because probably they were keeping it because of the connection with the Jewish believers. I think Romans 14:5 gives us the best answer. You have to be fully convinced in your own mind. I know many pastors who take Monday as a Sabbath, as a day of Sabbath rest. I know some people who do Saturday. I know some people who do Sunday. Be convinced in your own mind. But if you are not really incorporating in your life a day of Sabbath rest, we're missing a gift from God. And all of the benefits, health-wise, that go along with that. It seems from Scripture God intended for everybody to keep a Sabbath. So how? What does he say? He's not really specific. And that's why those Pharisees thought they would do God a favor and get specific when he didn't. God didn't get very specific because he was leaving it up to us to decide how to keep the day holy, how to honor him. We know that it says, don't work on your Sabbath, or conduct like normal business, whatever that means to you. That we should allow husbands, wives, sons, daughters, servants, employees, animals, pets, whatever, to celebrate the day as well. Guests in your home. So husbands and wives, help your spouse find some rest. Don't give him the list of to-dos. And expect them to do it. And spouses, don't say, don't choose every day as your day of rest, okay? And the Bible clearly says to remember the day by keeping it holy. Amen. What does that mean? Holy, the word holy actually means set apart, to honor as sacred. So there's something special about it. Yes, it's rest, but it also has to be connected to God. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14 says this. It was a blessing for the people of Israel. And something, well, let me just read it. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. I could use some more joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. So there was a direct promise for Israel with keeping the Sabbath and the land. So how do we apply that scripture? There are blessings for keeping a Sabbath. It should be a delight and not a burden. The problem is if we're not intentional, it's never going to happen. Because I don't know about you, but my list of to-dos never ends. And we could be busy at work 24/7. So I'm encouraging you to find the rhythm of work and rest that God has for you and for your family. You have to decide between you and God. But this is a gift that should not really be forgotten. Hebrews 4, I'm going to close with this. Verse 1 and then verses 9 and 10. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. And verse 11 starts out, says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Let's stand. Father, we thank you and bless your name. We thank you, Lord God, that you thought of everything. You thought of everything. You looked down the line of history to this very day, and you saw people in need of rest. You saw people in need of setting apart a day to to rest and to get closer to you. And Lord, I pray that there's not one person in here who would feel condemned, because that's not the purpose of gifts. The purpose of gifts is to delight us. And so I pray that the revelation of your word in regard to rest would set us free. Because there are some of us who think we can't stop, that the world will stop if we do. And so, Lord, set those people free right now from that. And help us to find the way to incorporate your rest into our lifestyles, Lord God, that we can be all that you have called us to be, that we don't end up to be stressful balls of messy stress and anxiety. That, Lord, we want more joy of the Lord. We want more rest. We want peace that passes all understanding, and it can all come if we learn the rhythm of life that you've created for us. Bless your people today. I pray that each one of us, Lord God, would be encouraged today, be built up for having been in your presence. And Lord, I pray that they would go and bless somebody else in your name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer,